Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We will be considering verses 11 through 13 this morning. Let's go before the Lord once again in prayer. Father, we come to your word joyful. As we open it, prayerfully, we come before you, needing you to open our understanding to its truth. We hunger for your truth. We pray that you would feed us this morning with it. In Christ's name, amen. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, hear now the word of God. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Amen. Thus far the reading of his word. Well, beloved in Christ, God poured out his unmerited favor toward his people. We've considered that much in these last couple of weeks. Though we were still sinners, God, in his great love and rich mercy, pursued us in Christ. He extended his unmerited pardoning grace to us in marvelous rescue and redemption. And this reality is truly marvelous, for it causes great wonder and joy as we consider such grace, as it isn't what we deserved. By grace through faith, gloriously, this is how God saved us. And as marvelous of a reality that this is, Paul taught us that there's more to know and to consider about the power of God's grace in our risen Lord. Having been saved, there are deep spiritual realities for us because of what he has done and where he is. And though we were spiritually dead, God has made us alive together with Christ. And this togetherness with him is important, as we have been united to Christ. When Jesus was raised from the dead, we were raised together with him. When he ascended to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, we were made to sit together with him. As sons and daughters by adoption, we have been made joint heirs with Christ. We will reign with him over creation. Paul taught this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 13, when he said, "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him." My friends, this will be a reign that will involve us even judging the angels, Paul told Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6:3. Further, Paul taught us the reason God did this for us. He did it so he could show so that the evidence of his exceeding grace and his kindness toward his people would be on display for the encouragement of generations to come. How rich and how kind our God is. And what is added to this being so marvelous is that salvation is God's work from beginning to end. We had nothing to do with it. There was no life, nothing good in us with which we could move toward him on our own. No, God raised us to life and gave us faith as a gift. Praise him. We didn't muster it up in ourselves. God didn't save us because of anything that we had done. Salvation isn't of our works, period. Why? So that no one can boast, Paul said. Because we would if we could. But it's all of grace. The grace of the master craftsman who created us in Christ for good works. And it's on this foundation of grace and mercy that Paul then enters into a new section of the letter as he teaches us about the peace of God's grace in our crucified Lord. Here Paul calls us to look back once again. He exhorts us to remember once again who we once were, but in a different way than he did in verse 1 of this chapter. And though different, there is a similarity. We are called to look back at who we once were apart from Christ, that we will better know and cherish who we are now in Christ. And this morning, we will consider who we once were in verse 11 and the time we were without Christ in verse 12, as well as our being brought near by Christ in verse 13. So notice Paul's words in verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. You know, as Paul begins his introduction on the peace in the church that Jesus has brought through his death and resurrection, Paul turns to the Gentiles in the Ephesian church and speaks to them regarding their estate, both past and present. And he first commands them to remember what was once true of them in their past. Now, remembering is an important biblical concept and practice, is it not? We know that Israel was exhorted to do this time and again, weren't they? Among other things, they were given feasts to help them remember. One big thing they were to remember was who they once were as slaves in Egypt and God's deliverance of them. Israel also had memorials to remember things by as well. Listen to Joshua's instruction to the 12 men in Joshua 4, 5 through 7. He said, "Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall answer them, 'That the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever.'" So why was it the saints, and what was it the saints were then to remember, and why is it important for us today to do likewise? It's very good to compare who we were with who we are now, that we would humble ourselves and grow in our love and thankfulness to God. Paul exhorted the saints in Corinth to look back and to remember who they once were, did he not, in 1 Corinthians 6, 9b through 11. He said there, "Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." But notice verse 11. "And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Look back. Remember who you were, Paul said. There's an important reason for this, which Paul develops in Ephesians 2. Here, Paul reminded the Ephesian saints that some of them were once Gentiles in the flesh. And what did Paul mean? How were they Gentiles in the flesh? Well, the Greek word for Gentiles is ethne, which literally means a race, a people, the nations, even the heathen world. It refers to those outside of Israel. And as if you listen to the pronunciation of the word ethne, it's easy to tell that this is where we get the word ethnic from. And Paul explains what he means by the phrase Gentiles in the flesh in the second part of the verse here. The Gentiles were called the uncircumcision by those called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. And this, in essence, was a slur. It was a derogatory term used by Israel against those in the nations. Israel was the covenant people of God. As many of you know, when God established his covenant with Abraham, the sign of the covenant of grace was circumcision. And every male child in Israel, when they were 8 days old, would have the flesh of their foreskins cut off, Genesis 17 tells us. Therefore, this literally was the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. However, the Gentiles didn't bear the sign of the covenant in their flesh. They lived dead in sin according to the corruptions of their flesh and sinful nature. Beloved, we need to remember the dangers and the pitfalls of pride and arrogance, because we see that here. For this is what the Jews fell into. They had the sign of the covenant. They had God's law. They had God's promises. And instead of living in humility with their God, serving him with all of their heart, they became puffed up. They thought they were in. They were good to go. They didn't need to worry about anything. God was on their side, even in their sin, and even if they went rampant and flourished in that sin. Remember what God taught us about this in Amos. We saw it time and time and again, did we not? And here Paul was pointing out how the Jews in his day looked down their noses at those who were on the outside. Those who needed the gospel. Those who needed the good news. And Paul knew this all too well, as he previously was a Pharisee, even as he described himself, the Pharisee of Pharisees. But my friends, do we know this problem well enough? Does the proud Pharisee rise up in our hearts? Do we look down even derogatorily at those on the outside? Or even at some of our own brothers and sisters within Christ's church? Pride must be slayed in our hearts, beloved. It so easily destroys and it wreaks havoc. It so easily hurts those that we love and creates coldness and distance and separation between us and those that we should be pursuing in love with the gospel. But Paul went on to explain the details about the spiritual significance of their situation in verse 12. There he said that at that time, You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Beloved, there were clear benefits in being in the covenant, in being the covenant children of God. A few that I just mentioned. Receiving the covenant sign, having God's law, having God's promises, having his fellowship and communion. What was the most important, though, of God's promises? The promise of the Messiah who would crush the head of the serpent, who would save his people from their sins and give them eternal life. And we know that Jesus is that promised Messiah who came and who did just that. However, all of this was void and absent in the Gentiles' experience. And note the five things that Paul points out here. They were without Christ. They were Christless. They had no knowledge of the Messiah. And further, they had no saving interest in him or relationship with God, for they walked blind in darkness. But they were also aliens from the commonwealth. They were foreigners outside of God's people. They didn't belong to nor had communion with Christ's church. They were outside of that fellowship. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. The Gentiles, like all others who were apart from Christ, are strangers to the covenant of grace and the administrations of it that we see in Adam, in Noah, in Abraham, Moses, David, and finally Christ. Therefore, they were hopeless. Those who are strangers to the covenant, strangers to God and his promises, can have no true hope. And they were without God in the world. The Greek word for without God is one word, atheoi. Literally, they were atheists. They were godless in the world. Now, his points here should ring true in our hearts and minds, for this was us apart from Christ as well. In that estate of sin and misery, we too were aliens and strangers. We too were without Christ, godless, and without hope. But now there's an important connection and a complement to see between the bad news of verse 1 and the bad news here in verse 12. Whereas the bad news in verse 1 enlightened us to the deadness of our sinful nature, the absence of life, the being under the wrath of God. The bad news in verse 12 shows us our previous relational alienation from Jesus Christ, from his covenant people, his covenant community, his church, as we were in that estate. And as we remember our alienation and being far away, Paul's words in verse 13 are all the more wonderful and glorious. This should take us back to when we were considering the very first few verses of this chapter and how we considered the bad news, the terrible news, that we were dead in trespasses and sins, but how we then received the wonderful news. But God, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive together with Christ. Verse 13, look at this. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So at that time, Paul said those things were true. They were once alienated, and yet there are two glorious words of good news, but now. Back in the first few verses of the chapter, but God. Here, but now. In Christ, things are radically different. And in what way? We who were far off have been brought near. And how was this brought about? By the blood of Christ. Whereas in verses 1 through 10 of this chapter, God showed us the power of his grace in our risen Lord. Here, Paul begins to teach us the peace of God's grace in our crucified Lord. And we'll consider more about this peace with God next week, Lord willing. But Jesus, my friends, Jesus has brought us who were far off near by his blood, by the merits of his suffering and death. Atonement and reconciliation are in view here. Being in Christ, we have been brought near. We are no longer without. We are no longer separated from Christ. We are no longer alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Remember what Paul told the churches in Galatia, that the church is the Israel of God. We are no longer strangers of that commonwealth. We are no longer strangers to the covenant of grace, to the covenants of promise. We have been adopted and have been brought in. And we now have meaningful hope in Christ, hope in his grace. And we now have access to God and even his pleasurable, his comfortable presence, his joyful presence through him. So I encourage you, remember to remember. Remember to remember, and remember that it's good to remember, to look back at what you once were, and remember the details of the severity of your condition, as difficult as that may be, as even as depressing that may be. It turns us to Christ, where we find our joy and our peace, our life. It's also very important to consider what God has done and who we are now. Don't just consider the past. Don't just consider who you once were. But consider who God has created you to be. And the new life that he has given you in him. Meditate on that. Grow in that. That you would be humble before him and that you would grow in your love and your thankfulness to him. For what a wonderful work God has done for us and in us in Jesus. But also remember the great sacrifice of Christ for you and what he accomplished for you. Remember that through the shedding of his blood, he has brought you near. Near not only in proximity, but near in fellowship, in relationship with him. Near as he has brought you into his family, into the covenant community. Near also in now being a recipient of grace, receiving all of the spiritual blessings that are yours in Christ Jesus. Remember that, too. Praise God for his word. Let's pray together.
And as we thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.